The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pod of thunder and rock and roll, and I'm going to kick off the show today with a reminder to order my upcoming fourth book, No is a Four-Letter Word, coming out on August 29th. You can pre-order it at my Amazon store, amazon.com/shop/IamJericho. It's a self-help book, a motivational book, giving you 20 principles on how you can achieve the goals in your life that you want to achieve, coming from a guy that wanted to be in a rock and roll band and wanted to be a wrestler, and was told at all stops that I could never do one of them, never mind either one of them. And here I am doing both at the highest of levels. So thanks to all of you who have always believed in me, and you're going to love No is a Four-Letter Word. Lots of great stories. The Bad Cow Principle is a good one. The Meeting Keith Richards Principle is a good one. The Gene Simmons Principle is another one of my favorites. The Vince McMahon Principle, another good one. Lots of great stuff. August 29th, No is a Four-Letter Word. I'm going to be announcing all of my book signing dates coming up soon. Remember, you can pre-order it now at amazon.com/shop/IamJericho. Also, thanks to all of you who have been listening to Judas. Is now number 2 on the Octane Biggins Countdown, which is the biggest rock station on satellite radio. And to be number 2 is insane. Can we make it to number 1? Hopefully we can. Also at number 24 on the active rock radio charts and number 26 on the Billboard active rock chart. So Judas, huge hit for Fozzy. Thanks to all of you who have checked it out. I've been dreaming about being in a rock and roll band since I was a kid. And today, if you want to know what I was like as a kid, well, here's your chance to find out the scoop. My two best friends, who also happen to be my cousins, my brothers, Wise Cousin Chad and How's It Going Todd Halawatchuk, are on the show today. It is the childhood of Jericho. I was growing up, man. All right. Wise Cousin Chad has been on the show a couple of times before, especially talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where he was the guy I was texting as I was listening to Yoko Ono P. If you haven't heard that story, you will hear it because it's in No is a Four-Letter Word. And, of course, how's it what's the good word, Todd? his younger brother, my two brothers, is Todd's first time on Talk is Jericho. We spent a lot of time together as kids, every summer at each other's houses. Family vacations, more concerts than I can count. I also took Todd to his first bar when he was 15. You're going to hear that story. Our fake IDs were terrible, but they worked. You hear the story of a lot of crazy stories and antics, along with tales about creating our own comic books and movie review magazines. We rated James Bond films, Strange Brew, Breaking, Dawn of the Dead, even a movie I can barely remember called Blue Thunder. And we're doing all of this as my cousin Brittany, Chad and Todd's younger sister, is getting married this week in Yorkton, Saskatchewan. So you're going to hear all about the childhood of Jericho. I was growing up, man. But Wise Cousin Chad and What's the Good Word Todd are coming up. But first, once again, thanks to all of you who got Judas to number 2 on the Octane charts, the Biggins charts. Number 2 with a bullet. Can we make it to number 1? You be the judge. We're going to play it for you right now. Here it is on Talk is Jericho, Judas by Fozzy.
You are innocence personified, and I will track you down.
right. Still top 10 in iTunes metal charts and top 100 on the iTunes rock charts. Thank you so much. The album will be coming out in September by Hook or by Crook. And Judas will be on the set list for our upcoming Judas Rising European tour starting October 27th in Birmingham, England at the O2 Academy. We're going to Dublin, Belfast, Chester, Manchester, London, Sheffield, Glasgow, Newcastle. Then we head over the pond to mainland Europe, Amsterdam, Aschaffenburg. I'm still getting that wrong. If anybody knows how to pronounce that, please tweet me at TalkIsJericho on the Twitter. Let me know how you pronounce Aschaffenburg. Bretagne, Switzerland, Roncade, Rome, Vienna, Munich, Essen, Hamburg, and Genk, Belgium on November 18th. We are going to be rocking all those places, and we're doing the greatest VIP money for your mouth value you can get. You can get all the VIP information at FozzyRock.com. We do pictures, we sign, we answer questions, and more importantly, we do a mini concert for all of our VIPs. Once again, FozzyRock.com. Come check it out and come be a VIP with Fozzy. It's one of the greatest experiences you're going to have, and being at the show is a great experience. So get your tickets now and get ready. Fasten your seatbelts, because Wise Cousin Chad and How's It Going Todd are here. But first, I got to take care of one of the great Talk Is Jericho sponsors who's been taking great care of me for years, not just as a sponsor, but physically, mentally. I'm talking about Diamond Dallas Page and DDPY. I know a lot of you are already on the DDP yoga program, just like me. It's changed my entire life. And remember this, if you live in the UK, WWE Hall of Famer Diamond Dallas Page just announced the DDP UK tour. He's bringing his amazing stories, ridiculous over-the-top motivation, hilarious Q&As, and his live DDP yoga workshops to the UK. The DDP UK tour hits Glasgow, Manchester, Birmingham, and London. September 2nd is when it starts. You'll be able to meet Dallas in person, take a selfie with him, have him sign an autograph, and get some real insight on how to do yoga properly to get in the best shape of your life. Join in on the inspiration meets perspiration and experience Dallas's infectious energy for yourself. Go to ddpuktour.com to reserve your spot. Get all the details. That's ddpyogatour.com. And if Dallas is not going to be in a city near you anytime soon, get the DDP Yoga Now app and get on the track to healthier living. I've got the DDP Yoga Now app on my phone, so I can open the app and do a workout wherever I am. There's over 150 workouts on the app, as well as the opportunity to do live workouts from the DDP Yoga Performance Center in Smyrna, Georgia. And DDP Yoga can help you get in shape and live a healthier life as well. Believe me, Dallas has thought of everything, because he truly cares about everyone. He wants everyone to live a healthier life and meet all of their fitness goals. I am a perfect example of this. And his DDP yoga program is great for anyone and everyone, any age, any skill level. Diamond Dallas Page has made it so easy for you to get on board his life-changing program. Just take advantage of this tremendous deal that Dallas is offering. He's giving you 20% off the DDP Yoga Now app and all DDPY merch, swag, and clothing. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. That's ddpyoga.com/Jericho. It's time to own your life. Get in the best shape of your life physically and mentally. Start today. Do it now. ddpyoga.com/Jericho. It is the way to go. The best workout you could ever have in your life. And I am the living proof of that.
Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new amazing app. This one's a game changer. There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more. Plus every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen. And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more. So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself. Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcastone.com.
Talk is Jericho.
Probably my two best friends in the world are also my cousins that grew up together. The Hollowaddocks, Wise Cousin Chad.
Hello.
Making your third or fourth appearance.
On it is, yeah.
And then we got, what's the good word, Todd? Your first appearance here.
How you doing? All the way from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Sasky boy.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So we decided we wanted to have it. First, we're going to do a Camp Chabon cast, which is like Camp Chabon was the Ukrainian camp we went to when we were kids. But we thought we'll expand it to all the stuff that we did when we were kids, because we grew up together. I'm 2 years older than Chad. Chad's 2 years older than Todd. So we're all very close in age. And our moms were cousins, right?
Yeah.
So we're like second cousins? Is that the lineage?
I think we're even further than that somehow.
Really?
Yeah, I think like
I think we're third cousins. I'm not exactly sure.
How does it work? So if your moms are cousins, then they had kids and we're, wouldn't that make you second cousins?
Yeah, it's like your grandma and our grandma are sisters. So however you figure that out.
Okay, sisters, they're cousins and we're the third thing or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but it's also like a very Ukrainian family. You guys grew up in Yorkton, Saskatchewan.
Yo!
Tell us about Yorkton a little bit.
Yorkton, it's small, 15,000 people. It probably still is today. So that was back in the 70s. I don't think it's changed. There was two high schools, couple junior highs, and we didn't have much. We had a mall, and that was kind of when that thing got built, the Parkland Mall, that was a big deal.
Thing.
That was a big deal.
So it was a big deal for you guys to come to Winnipeg, right?
Yeah, the big city. I mean, we were really small. So then, you know, we looked forward to every summer getting a chance to go hang out in Winnipeg.
That was a highlight for us, was coming to Winnipeg in the summers and hanging out at your place.
And what we would do is I'd come stay at your guys' place for a week, and then you'd come stay at my house for a week. And that was usually, it was usually back-to-back, right?
Yeah, and then very rarely, the parents would drive us maybe a little bit, but usually we get thrown onto a bus or a train. And it's like, you know, Todd and I would go on the Greyhound.
And then, how old are you guys at this point?
Geez, I mean,
10 and 8?
Oh, yeah. We were super young. Probably today you wouldn't throw kids on the Greyhound by themselves.
Probably today. Are you kidding me? Kids can't even go outside by themselves at 8 and 10. But think about that, right? 8 and 10, let's say, on a Greyhound bus.
Yeah, here's your lunch. And, you know, 8 hours, because you would stop everywhere.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, if you drove the highway, it's like 4.5 hours to Winnipeg, right? But yeah. 8 hours later, we're there in the bus.
But let's see, we were talking before this about how, you know, when we were kids and we'd want to communicate with each other and keep in touch with each other and do stuff. And now it's all about the devices, right? It's your phone.
Yeah.
It's the computer. It's the email. It's watching YouTube. You know, not to sound like back in our day, but it was not like that in our day. You would have to actually be creative and use your imagination and be smart about how you would keep in touch and do all these things.
Yeah, I mean, we would we started by writing letters to each other, right?
Yeah,
the old fashioned way, and it got to the point where it's kind of like, you know, these letters are so long, and we just came up with the idea, let's tape ourselves on a cassette, and then we'll just mail it back and forth to each other. So that's kind of how we did it. We would just sit down, hit play and record on a little cassette deck, hey?
Which is actually a pretty smart idea, right?
It is.
For just kids, because like nobody told you to do that, you would just do it, right?
And it was exciting when you know, you go to the mail or it arrives in the mailbox, and Chad and I would throw it in our ghetto blaster, right? And it was great. And then we'd record right back and send it right back to you, and that's how we communicated. Yeah,
I remember that for some reason. I still remember one letter that you wrote me, and it's like, Mom just made a banana cream pie. I can't wait to sink my teeth into it. I don't know why would you remember that, right? But we all had a nickname. Well, you guys didn't. You were Video Chad.
Yeah, self-proclaimed, or was it? I don't know. I mean, I was always the guy, the tech guy that would kind of...
The tech guy in the 70s.
Yeah, I would figure... Yeah, high-tech, analog guy. And I would figure it out. And we, you know, back then we also had, you know, the video cassette recorder. So, you know, I'd know how to set it up, how to dub from one tape to the next and all that kind of stuff, and how to copy, right?
Our dad, Rusty, he was one of the first guys in Yorkton to get a VCR, wasn't he?
He was
the first guy that I knew that had a VCR.
Yeah. So we were ahead of our time there for a bit.
And I remember you're going to school, and Michael Douglas, I don't know, was it the Mike Douglas show? There was like a talk
Mike
show.
Douglas, yeah.
Mike Douglas show. So I'd go to school. I think I was in kindergarten. That's when he got it, or in grade one, max. And I'd go to school, and I'd say to tell the kids, yeah, I'm going to go home after school, and I'm going to go watch Mike Douglas. And they're like, what are you talking about? Mike Douglas is on right now. I'm like, yeah. You come over, and I'll show you.
Magic. I remember that Russ used to get the Saturday Winnipeg Free Press in Yorkton, which I'm still not sure how he did that. And he would get the TV guide for the week. Then he would call our house and ask my parents to tape movies for him. I remember one time it was Stagecoach with John Wayne.
Cool.
Stagecoach is on Saturday night at midnight. Can you tape it for me? Because, you know, here's the thing. Like, you did not have access to movies. Like, if the movie came on TV and you were lucky enough to get it, that was it. Because you couldn't go – you were just being able to go rent the movie. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I think that's why, like, you know, that's why movies back then, which we did all summer – you'd always see held over for 8 weeks, held over for 12 weeks.
In the theater.
Yeah, they don't hold over movies anymore because you know you're going to be able to see it. Well, there's probably numerous reasons, but, you know.
No, but if it came out in the theater, once it went away from the theater, you had no guarantee you'd ever see it again.
No, that's it.
Just think about that concept for a second. Everyone listening right now, when the movie came out, when Star Wars came out, and when it was done after like 42 award-winning weeks and then it was gone, you would never see it again.
It's gone.
It's done.
Until they put it on, you know, CBC or CTV. Which
maybe, but maybe, yeah, you had three channels to watch movies on, you know? I remember what I used to do was my mom would I always wanted to watch horror movies, and my mom said, you can watch them, but you have to go to sleep first. So I'd have to go to sleep at 10:30 and then wake up at midnight and go downstairs and watch the movies and then come back and go back to sleep again. Because if you didn't go watch it at midnight, it's done.
Yeah, the late movies. Yeah, I mean, and then it's gone, right?
Yeah.
And then they used to play, they would have sometimes 3D movies, right?
Yes.
Like, I don't know how they did it, but, you know, you'd have to get your glasses from the cable company or something.
Or like 7-Eleven.
And then you go and you watch, like, black and white King Kong or something.
Well, that's one of my first memories of summers in Winnipeg, was doing that. Ted would bring home the 3D glasses.
Yeah.
And we'd kick back and after swimming in the backyard in the pool and we'd watch these, like Godzilla, wasn't it? Like,
I remember something about an ape that was attacking, it was like a normal ape that was attacking people. It was like the Night of the Ape or something.
I don't know, but it was cool, man. I'm like, wow, this is very cool.
Go get some pizza, which would be, you know, pepperoni ground beef for us, and Chad would have to get a ham and pineapple.
Of course, even last night.
Yeah.
We had pizza last night, and then that's,
There's six guys here. He gets two pizzas for us and one pizza for him.
Hawaiian.
But so remember the 3D thing, and then here's another one. Remember when the video stores started opening, the one that was near my house was OKS Video. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And remember what we were watching? We went through a couple phases, and the one phase that we were watching, do you remember what it was?
Three Stooges.
Three Stooges, man. Soitenly. Yeah. We went through Three Stooges and rented like 10 Three Stooges tapes.
Nice. Yeah.
I forgot about that till now.
Yeah, but remember? Yeah. We just were obsessed with the Three Stooges and watching them. And then the other one was the James Bond movies. We loved Sean Connery, James Bond.
Wow. And you know, you look back now at some of those cheesy Bond movies, right? But for us, it was super cool.
Just to have it was great.
The gadgets. Yeah. What's the gadget this movie?
What's the gadget? you would go rent the – I remember, and you'd go rent the movie I hope they have Dr. No. Oh, Dr. No's out. I don't know. Like, it's so funny to think about how that used to be back then.
It's just every. It's the accessibility to everything. You know, just even like just, you know, calling each other on the phone. We didn't do it because it cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like long distance charges were 30 cents a minute or something like
that.
It was high. It was really high, right? So you just, and there was no long distance, you know, programs. You just had to. So. Accessibility and getting a video, and if it's out for a week, it's out for a week. It's gone.
Tough luck for you.
Too bad.
And then that's, and like we were saying too, like if you had nothing to do during those summers, because we'd always be doing something. Lots of swimming.
Yes.
Even though you guys couldn't swim.
Yeah, we were bad. And then mom just, you know, while we had to wear these orange water wings because we would sink, right? Couldn't swim.
And orange water wings, they're kind of like you put them over your bicep and they're like little floaties.
Yeah, inflatable a little.
Right. And think about the concept of that. Like so flawed. Like your arms are up and your body's still sinking.
Yeah, you just use your legs, I guess. So we would have races in the pool and Chris was like a fish because he was swimming every day, right? Yeah. And he would give us a pool length head start. There's videos that Dad has of that, right? And you'd catch us, right?
Like a pool, like you guys would start swimming and it would take you like an hour to swim the length. And then I would go, you have to go to one end of the pool and back.
Yeah.
And I just would kill you every day, just showing off, like just little idiot, like, okay, guys, go. And I would just go. Psh.
And we're flailing. There's this, all you could see is this orange and splashing, right? Two guys just trying to get to the other.
And Chad and I would be, fighting for last place and tugging on each other. And meanwhile, Chris is already done. So, yeah, but we had some great times.
But the diving, Todd, like you were brave. You would, there was a diving board and Todd could dive, no problem. He would do flips and Chris would do flips, right? And I couldn't even dive. Like I would stand on the edge of that diving pool, or the diving board, and you guys would be like trying to, come on, Chad.
Go, Chad, come on.
Just put your arms in front of you. Just put your head down. And I would go, and I would just get so mad at myself, and I would walk off the diving board.
But he would always be like, should I go? Should I go?
Yes.
Go. Should I go? go. And just standing there like for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes with the on the with the little floaties on, probably shivering because now it's going to go with your hands like in a praying position because that's how you dive. So it's like, should I go? Should I go? And finally after watch, it's like, fuck, dude, I don't care.
Yeah.
Go, don't go. Do whatever you want. It doesn't matter anymore. You know, but and also, too, another thing would be like, okay, so we've got nothing to do. Like you just said, Chad, let's write a comic.
Yeah.
You know, let's do a comic book. And you, Todd, you draw this, and Chad, you do this, and you would just sit there for hours and create art.
Yeah, there was a I can't remember the comic book. I remember your character was like a ninja dude in a you know in a leather vest, kind of looked like one of the warriors or something like that. And he had throwing stars, and yeah. then you know we would have. I think I had some lame bendy guy.
It was
some,
superheroes, right?
It was a super. We did a superhero comic, right? But we would do panels, and we would do it over days, right?
Yeah.
And it was fun. You'd go in your little corner, and you'd come back. Hey, look what I did. Okay, well, yeah, I think I had an Iceman guy too, or something. And then it would be like, okay, well, I got to fit that into this panel. And
like, so you would do like a page, yeah. And then I would do a page. Would Todd do a page, or was he too young?
I was. I think I was coloring.
Yeah, you were. I think you were coloring it.
Give him the colors. Yeah. And then there's the famous movie review magazine.
And that was on a train trip from the train would stop in Melville, Saskatchewan, which is outside of Yorkton, and we could take the train.
What is the chant, Todd?
The Yaitzi Kubasa?
No, Melville, Melville,
Yorkton, Yorkton, rah, 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 Melville, Kubasa. That was the big insult. We're calling them Ukrainian sausages. You stupid idiots. Okay, so we're doing.
So yeah, we go on the train and then we would, review movies, right? And everybody would get a page, and they do their movie review. You draw a little picture of it, and I still have it. I still have movie reviews, and every movie, like we reviewed Strange Brew and Octopussy, were the two, the two ones that I can remember. And
because with all the movies, I remember Blue Thunder got a review, a little known Roy Scheider helicopter movie. So let's look at the front cover.
Okay, that's the other page back. Yeah.
Because a movie review. And it's movie review, and it's the ones that were reviewed that time was Blue Thunder, Ghostbusters, Conan the Destroyer, Christine, Footloose, Star Trek, looks like an Indiana Jones, Dawn of the Dead.
What a got lineup. Review.
by Chad H., Chris I., Todd H. How did you get top billing in that?
I think he must have done one page or something. He might have helped with our reviews because we were very – it's like Rotten Tomatoes, right? The three of us would have a consensus on a review. And well, what were the
– Firefox, Tank, Police Academy, Breakin'. Breakin' was the one. Revenge of the Ninja. Ah, yes. We went through a big ninja phase. We'll get to that too. Shokasugi. Strange Brew. Ratings from 1 to 10. Strange Brew got a 9 out of 10.
That's very okay. – that's accurate.
Octopussy. Ratings from 1 out of 10. Oh, that one got 10 out of 10.
Wow.
We love that one. We love that movie.
Maude Adams. Yeah, so that was a good one.
All of them pretty much got nines or tens, yes. I think. We weren't very critical with our reviews, right?
Yeah, and then right after that, we would act out a skit with some of these movies. Like that was one of my fond memories is the skits in the backyard by the pool.
Just filming on like Rusty's video camera or something?
Yeah, and... we'd incorporate, James Bond and Indiana Jones on one. We'd have the cap guns, the fake cap guns.
The pop guns.
Yeah.
You would actually have to put the rounds and they'd come in a little circle and you shoot them. And then you'd have to eject the empty right. shell and totally. Put the new one in.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Talk is Jericho.
I was going to say, so our it was Video Chad and Ninja Todd.
Yeah.
But our roles, we all had ambitions of what we were going to do when we grew up. And Chad, what did you want to do?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to be a priest. I don't know. I wanted to be a priest with a Ferrari. So,
Father Don,
a televangelist?
Yeah, or, I don't know. The money would come from somewhere. that was, yeah, that was my, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, we were altar boys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reason that we would join altar boys is because we would, they'd have a ski trip every year. And that was it, right? It was all about the, it was all about the extracurricular stuff. So there was the altar boy group was huge. And all we, I remember those meetings, we would just plan to go skiing and where are we going on our next trip? And that was it, right?
Yeah,
we got to go to the altar and do our thing with the incense, right? And, you know, how many times did we pass out because we were, had the candle right under our nose? But anyway, that's why I probably thought, oh yeah, priest.
Okay, so you, that'd be cool. So you went priest, Todd, what were you going
to
do?
I wanted to be a football player in the Canadian Football League. So...
And then you found out they made $16,000 a year. Yeah, and you're like, no, maybe not. Yeah.
So I've always been into sports and
natural athlete.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And that's why it was such a thrill coming to Winnipeg, and you had the backyard pool, man. And I was always in that pool as much as possible. And
so you're gonna be the football player.
But you did play football at least. Like I didn't go to the priesthood.
You didn't like go to monk school or anything.
But Todd played football.
So my thing was I wanted to be a police officer.
Right.
That's what I wanted to be. Yeah. And the idea would be that Todd would become a famous CFL football player. I would be his security, and Chad would bless him before games.
To guarantee those wins.
Yeah. We had it all worked out. Done.
But so we're talking about the Ukrainian shtick here. And like I said, one of the things was going to Camp Chabon, which was a Ukrainian camp. Now, the funny thing is this, Todd, you were just there in the area. And sent me a picture of Camp Chabon.
Yeah, we were there months ago.
Yeah, yeah, crazy.
It was a shithole.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, think of the worst summer camp that you've seen in any movie. Just a bunch of barracks that are like, I think it was 30 years ago, but the white paint is peeling off and it's just mud everywhere. But yeah. Camp Chabon was like such a thing.
It seemed big when you were there, yeah. Right? Young, right?
It's a lot smaller now that we're there.
Yeah. That was
that has been renovated since.
But I was always caught in the middle. So you guys were full on Ukrainian. My mom is Ukrainian. My dad was not. So when I hung out with you guys were eating Ukrainian food, like was it halopchi?
Yeah, holopsi.
Give me some more.
Yeah, holopsi, perohe,
kubasa,
studenets.
What is studenets?
Studenets is the is that the head cheese?
Yeah.
And kubasa sausage, perohe is pierogies.
Yeah.
And the
kuchia is wheat soup.
Wheat soup?
Yeah.
So I was caught in the middle, though, because I would come and then it'd be like half Ukrainian. It's like being half circumcised.
Yeah.
You either are or you aren't. And you guys were doing the – Chad, you were doing the Ukrainian dancing. Did you do Ukrainian dancing too,
Tom? Yeah, just for a little bit. Not as much as Chad, though.
Somehow we talked you into going to this camp, though.
Like, probably because I just wanted to hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. And that's when you started Ukrainian dance. I remember that. You had a Ukrainian – they would always have a Ukrainian dance at the end of the 2 weeks.
A performance,
right? And Chris, all you could do is you were back on your hands, and then you would just take your feet and you just pat the ground.
That's all I could do.
There's no kick in.
It's
no
none of that like rushing and a bam and a flip and a kick, and I'm doing none of that.
Because you would have your little solo, right? Everyone would go in the front and do their move. And yeah, Chris was just patting the grass.
Laughing stock of Camp Chabon, right?
But you learned that, you know, they would teach us Ukrainian language stuff. We had a lot of swimming. You were good at the swimming, right?
Yeah, I could do that.
And there was, you know, it was...
Ukrainian swimming. You just drown.
But the thing about Camp Chabon too is we would have these counselors. I think you talked about one of the counselors in another
Kevin
with Eli and Gabe, right?
Oh no, I talked with counselors with Kearns and Fitz. Kevin from Estevan.
That's right. It was actually
Kevin from Esterhazy, though.
It was Esterhazy. Yeah. But you know, Todd's kids just went to a YMCA camp, and it was funny to see how different it was from Chabon, right? How organized and the. You know, I think back to Camp Chabon and those counselors and, you know, some of the things that happened at that camp. You can't do that today.
Like what?
Like we would – I remember every night that we would – there was always like the women – the girl counselors were hot, right?
Well, especially like, to us because we're like, you know, 12, 10. You know, every girl that talks to you is hot.
I remember – yeah, I think Barb.
Barb.
And I remember Carrie, the brunette, right?
Schwing.
And so every night before you go to bed, you were allowed to line up. And kiss the counselors goodnight.
Like, really?
Yes. Yeah. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
And you would line up. All the guys, all the boys would just line up and you'd pick your favorite counselor.
There's a lineup.
And they'd sit there. It's like the Fonz, right? The kissing booth, right? And you would just kiss them goodnight. And it's the weirdest thing when you think about that now. You can't do that now.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they would want to do that, the counselors, because they were probably 18 or 19.
Yeah.
But to us, they seem...
Not even, I don't
think. I don't even think even.
Really? Yeah.
16, 17? Yeah.
Really?
How creepy is that? Like, all these gross boys lining up, you're kissing them. Like, on the lips.
Now, I remember that there was a like a mattress, like an old mattress that we were wrestling on it. And we were having wrestling matches on this mattress.
Yeah.
And I don't know why there was just a random mattress lying around. And my wrestling character was the Beast. I just remember that. I'm
really?
The Beast. Yeah. Nice. I'm the Beast. Yeah. And the other one was that for some reason, I think it was the summer of 82, which is when Number the Beast came out.
I remember that.
Do you remember we got into these really, because it was a religious themed camp as well.
Yeah, like, it was Catholic.
Catholic.
Yeah.
So there's deep discussions about the Book of Revelations and the Number of the Beast.
Yeah.
And just scaring the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Every night they would talk about it, and then they would play Number of the Beast for you before you went to bed.
Like, why? Did...
Just that, you know, woe to you.
Yes.
See, they would play that, and they would just scare it. I think they just wanted to scare us, right?
But I think it was like, you know, this is going to be the end of the world, and the Antichrist is coming down, and it's like, holy shit, like... I'm 10 years old, 12 years old. I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah, they would read Revelations and they would say, like, and, you know, a lot of those, some of those counselors would go to, St. Vlad's College, too. I think some of them would go there.
What's that?
It's kind of like a high school, a boarding school for guys that are thinking about the priesthood. I didn't go. For the record, I didn't go. And it was hell, right? It was kind of like, it was another shithole school, right? But,
okay.
But anyway, you know, that... Those guys would go there and they talk about it all the time, and then they'd bring it to us and try to scare the shit out of us, right?
But this is also too where the famous quote, as discussed on the Kevin Smith podcast, it's in my book, when we were talking about sex. This was at Camp Chabon, and Chad and I somehow were discussing how babies are made, and my mom had always told me that it's when a mom and dad kiss, and a seed passes from the dad's mouth into the mom's mouth. Yes. And that's how babies are made, which is like, it's another thing too, like, just completely never got the sex talk ever.
Yeah, neither did we. No,
nothing. Like,
no.
Just
no.
Which is like, I'm sure Mark has, like, Ash now, they do it at school.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you can go, your questions, but they go and they actually say, this is what happens.
Yeah, we didn't know. We had no idea. We learned from, you know, the 80s sex comedies,
right? That's,
or the
First Choice Super Channel.
Yeah. The magazines, the dirty magazines at the Loaf and Jug convenience store.
Loaf and Jug, baby.
Yeah.
Is the Loaf and Jug still there?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just like the best name for a convenience store, Loaf and Jug.
I love it.
So somewhere we were talking, and keep in mind, I'm 12, Chad's 10, and, you know, a baby's made, and the seed happens, and you're like, no, it's not how it happens. And then give me the quote.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know how it happens, and I said, it's c***ing c***. That's all it is. And you're like, what? And honestly, I don't know how I knew that.
Yeah,
how it was from those things, right? It's from...
Well, you had two older cousins as well, Suede and Shane, right?
Yeah.
Do you think maybe they might have filled you in or something?
I honestly think it was like late nights watching Super Channel First Choice.
But why would you know the C word? That's terrible.
I don't know. Somebody must have used it in a movie. It's like, that's how I learned everything.
But so First Choice Super Channel was, it was the original pay TV in Canada. It was like HBO is now. And of course, you guys had it. You guys always had everything, but you were always saying that you were poor.
Oh, our mom and dad gave us all these things, and they had no money. Like, they would just, they just wanted us to be happy and, you know, not wise financial decisions, for sure not.
Like, how much did that first VCR cost? I think it was like $3,000.
No, I remember, because
$1,500
bucks.
Still, it's crazy. In 1981 or whatever, you know, yeah, $1,500. Think about that. How much was that now? $5,000.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like state of the art. It's getting the newest thing, right? But they would do it, you know, and they would take us to Disneyland, and they would take us on these trips that they had no business. They could not afford to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And they just did. And yeah, you know, it was cheap to live in Yorkton, and you know, it's not expensive, but still, I mean, it affected my mom and dad for
but
years.
But you guys never knew that.
We didn't know.
You had so much. I remember that toy closet that you had with all the Star Wars stuff and Millennium Falcon,
action figures,
and then First Choice Super Channel. So,
but that's how cool mom and dad were. They would give the shirt off their back just so we could go to Disneyland or something.
Or go to a concert in Winnipeg. Drive us on a weeknight, right? A weeknight, take you out of school. David Lee Roth's there, you're going. You know, we would go.
And all the memories we got from that. So,
do you remember when you guys the Kick-Ax story?
Yeah, yeah.
They were playing. Was it the Agriplex?
They were playing. Oh, geez, it was in the Agriplex area. It was basically in a barn, right?
Yeah.
And they'd come to town, and I remember the record store. it's not top 40, or maybe it was, and they had a contest. You know, whoever could sell the most tickets to Kick-Ax, you know, we get you backstage. And I did it. I sold the most tickets.
Nice.
And I mean, did you sell?
I have no idea. I was really good at selling stuff. Like, you know, I would make shirts for our band, and I would, you know, we would sell them, right? No matter what, I would. That's what I like to do, right? But yeah, I sold all these tickets, and I got backstage, and
because I remember
we tried to get you to come.
Well, the idea was if I can get these tickets sold, and we're going backstage, and I was like, I'm in, and it was on a Wednesday night or something like that. And I was like, you can't go to Yorkton, like, what do you do? Pull you out of school, you know, send you on the bus.
Of course.
But I was so mad that I didn't get to go to Kick-Ax to go backstage. Because you had won these backstage passes for selling the tickets.
So yeah. Was that your first concert ever?
I think it probably was, actually. That probably was, Kick-Ax. And then the other one after that, if not before, was Corey Hart. I think.
That was my first, Corey Hart.
Boy in the Box tour.
Yeah.
In Yorkton?
No, Regina.
Regina. Yeah. Regina. My first concert was The Police.
Oh.
Synchronicity.
Nice. And I... It's funny you mentioned that because we were at your place when you
really?
Were... Yeah, I remember this. We were swimming... in his pool, and it was getting dark out, and there was a bunch of kids in the pool, not just us. There was like six or seven, and I was just happier than just swimming in the pool, and I'm all, what are you guys where are you guys going tonight? And because you guys were talking about, and Chris is all, oh, we're going to the I'm going to the Police, and then he jumps off the diving board, and I'm thinking that's odd. I go, they're going to the police station, because I'm like I would have been like 8 or 9 years old, and I just shrug my shoulders, and I'm all, okay, whatever. I'm staying here swimming, man. You guys go to the police station, and so that's what memory I have of your first concert ever.
But there's another good one too that once again you sold the most tickets for Kick-Ax, Chad, and then you also got to remember when you won the concert on Much Music.
Yeah, they were. It was a Eurythmics contest, and it was like you had to. There was the Missionary Man video, and you had to tell what letter was on the guitar, and it was an M. And I sent it in. Back then, you would have to enter contests by sending in postcards to Much Music. And I sent it in, and I remember when they were drawing it.
It's like a giant barrel with like thousands of postcards
live on Much Music.
Erica M. and Christopher Ward.
Yeah, and they put the hand in there, and they pull out a St. Mary's Catholic Church postcard.
And the winner is...
Chad
Hollowatuck.
Hollowatuck. Hollowatuck. Chad, you are the lucky winner.
That was a great great win, man. You got to go to Toronto, and mom was your escort, right? And
well, you had to
had front row tickets and perks, and
you had to
spending
take
money.
I was nine? No, whatever. I was 10, but you had to take somebody. And my mom came with me. We went to the Eurythmics, fancy hotel.
Let's talk about some of our trips that you mentioned, because we did take a lot of trips with our parents. It was another thing that we would do every spring break, get together and go wherever we were going to go and do what we were going to do. So. The first one that comes, like, there's lots of them, but the Panorama one was good because it was, I think, 1986. Because I remember right before we went, I bought Master of Puppets, and then I took it home to record it from album to cassette so I'd have it for the trip.
Yeah.
And made my mom and dad wait. Like, just one more song. This last song is 8 minutes long. 8 minutes. Who has an 8 minute song? And it's called Orion. And we got to do this. So I had, like, I was always kind of the guy that would lead you guys in what direction of music you should check out.
Oh, totally.
I mean, music, movies. Like, I'm 4 years younger than you, 2 younger than Chad. So I learned a lot from you guys. But yeah, so Panorama is this famous ski hill in BC. And,
right.
And it's one of the greatest ski hills.
So we go up there, and we got like this condo. So it was pretty cool. And then there was a hot tub. I remember sitting in the hot tub, and we were listening to Metallica on the stereo or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we were young and listening to heavy. That was the heaviest.
So that's 86. So I'm 15, you're 13, you're 11, Todd.
Nice.
So we would get an extension cord. We'd pull the Ghetto Blaster outside. We'd sit in the hot tub because you would have it for a few of the condos would share a hot tub, and we'd listen to Metallica. And you know, and it was always, we'd go at spring break too, right? So there'd be a lot of university students.
Kids,
too, right? You know, and I think we were pretty cool, like listening to some pretty awesome music, right? And I don't know if you remember this, there was a bunch of them in a hot tub, and we joined them in the hot tub, and they were drinking, and we were like just little shits, right? And they're listening to some music, and this guy's being all cocky, and he's like, oh, free trip to Hawaii if you can guess what this is. And I said, Santana.
He's nice.
And they all freaked out. How do you know that? And you know, there was no Hawaii trip.
How did you know
buck
that?
Up.
Yeah. You know how I knew it?
How?
It's because I just looked at the Ghetto Blaster, and it was written on the cassette that he taped, Santana. It was like... What an idiot. Dude,
I remember that. That's when we had first started the Primitive Means, the first band I was in, and we were, you just record songs, just like one take and just make it up. And there was a song called Gay Nights,
yeah.
And we would do little intros for it. And there was one where it was like, oh, so gay had, you know, pull your sword out of your sheath. And there was like this really long, kind of really embarrassing, stupid.
There's a bulge in your
arm, like gay robot or whatever. And you were playing the Primitive Means album when I was in the hot tub, and that was playing. I'm like, Chad, shut that off. Everyone's listening, like, what is it? I'm like, I don't know. Shut it off. That's not for everyone to hear. Gay Nights.
You know, that was pretty popular in Yorkton. We would, because on basketball trips that we would go, I'd bring the Primitive Means, you know,
cassette, right.
And everyone knew it. All the team loved it. Sour Grapes.
Beat Your Kids.
Yeah. Beat Your Kids.
Oh, it was pretty, yeah. It was, you know, not big in Yorkton, but it was big at our school. Everyone knew it.
So we're at Panorama, and we're hanging out, and then there's a scavenger hunt. I remember this, the scavenger hunt, and our team was called Stradivarius.
Oh, nice.
Because from the Three Stooges, thing. So we're walking around trying to, you know, get whatever. And I'm not sure if this story even happened the way that I think it does, but I'm just going to tell it the way that I think I remember. We're going around looking for the items on the scavenger hunt, and we come across a couple of the university kids, and they're smoking weed.
Yeah.
And then maybe there's a couple chicks involved. There must have
been. No, there was chicks. Yeah, there was chicks.
Remember that, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
So I took the puff of the weed. You know, I'm not a weed guy to this day, and wasn't at that point either. But I think I was trying to impress the chicks.
Yeah.
And that could be the first time where it's like, yeah, I party. Hey, Chad and Todd, you know, I told you about Metallica. Let me tell you about a party now.
Yeah.
So I took a hit on this thing, and then we go back to the condo, and I remember Russ asking, "What's wrong with you?
Great.
Are you okay?" And then once that you get that, and I'm just like feeling I must be like
paranoid,
super high or whatever it is. But I still remember like he knew that I was up.
Yeah.
But didn't say anything to my dad, which was, I think, at least I don't know if he'd said anything. But
yeah, rusty.
You know, remember we went to Police Academy? We went to the movie Police Academy? That was in Breckenridge in Colorado.
Did we see it there? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I forgot about that. I remember seeing Police Academy and how awesome how much we loved that movie.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yes.
And we came back and went into the condo once again, and Russ and Ted were both loaded, and Russ was like, "Hey, Police Academy, was there any beaver in that movie?"
Definitely loaded.
And the best part was there was.
Yeah. Yeah.
But how do you tell them that, you know? And that's when we were going through a huge ninja phase.
Oh, and yeah, there was that Revenge of the Ninja. And when I was in grade three, there was in one of those movies, one of the ninjas was jumping cars. I remember, like, you know, that were parked on the street, right?
Yeah.
Walking over cars. And one day I decided to do that in our driveway. And I don't think Mom and Dad even know this, but I walked over the Buick, and when I hit the hood, I slipped and I fell and I broke my wrist.
What?
Yeah.
I thought you just fell on a icy driveway.
No, yeah, I was trying to be a ninja.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, they...
Chad.
I know. But, yeah, we were big into that. We would make our own throw... You know, I don't know. Kids probably still do it. Make your own throwing stars. Nunchucks, right?
Yeah, and the thing was, I remember when we went to Pano, we were just playing in the snow outside the condo for hours. Not Pano, Breckenridge in Colorado.
Yeah.
Just playing, like, just hours of playing ninja in the forest and in the snow.
And then we come back and watch Saturday Night Live. Remember with Eddie Murphy, Buckwheat
got shot. Yeah,
but you know when we did that ninja stuff though, because we were in the States. I remember that we said, "Okay, we're in Denver. We have to go to this address." There was a store that was like a martial arts store.
I remember,
and
that.
I don't know how we found the address, right? But anyway, our parents would drive around Denver, like, "Where is this store?" I'm like, "It's got to be here. It's got to be here." They found the store, and I remember going in, and we bought butterfly knives, two butterfly knives. and you bought a bunch of like
sparring gear.
Stuff, yeah, like gear, right?
Oh, pads and stuff.
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
And then we were coming back home over the border, and we had these butterfly knives, and someone, you know, said, you know, they're illegal, you can't bring them into Canada, right? And I remember I put them in my shoe. So I would take off my shoe and I'd put a butterfly knife in, and then I'd put my foot in it and tie it up, and it'd be like painful to walk on it. But I was walking on these knives.
That's how you crossed the border?
Yeah, because I was worried if they searched us that they would find these butterfly knives.
But we flew.
No?
No.
To yes, we did a Breckenridge.
Oh, okay. You know what?
Different trip.
Yeah. This whole martial arts trip was different then. I think it might have been in Minneapolis.
No, dude. I remember us doing it in Denver as well. I remember us driving around looking for stuff.
Well,
yeah.
I had butterfly knives somewhere too.
Well, back in those days before 9/11, you could probably get on the plane with a butterfly knife. They never searched you or did anything.
Oh, we used to. Our parents used to let us smuggle fireworks from Fargo, North Dakota, and Bismarck,
and bags of them, like brown paper bags full of firecrackers and everything, right? And we get to the border, and the guy would say, I remember Dad.
No, but we're coming up to the border, and Mom would say, pretend you're sleeping. So then Chad and I would pretend I'm sleeping, and meanwhile, we had fireworks hidden, all stashed all over the Oldsmobile and the Kleenex box in the back, and we'd pull up, and Dad would submit his receipts, and the border agent would look at him, and boom, he's off
submit
we go.
Submit receipts! I remember that. Where you got your receipts from all the stuff that you buy. You would cross the border and show the receipts. And I bought Hostess Twinkies and I bought G.I. Joe dolls. And you would add it all up to find if you had to pay duty or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah.
Both our parents were very cool and very smart.
And also just total scammers.
Yeah.
Just crossing the border.
We brought back, it was, like you said, Hostess Twinkies and Ding Dongs and Dr. Pepper and Cherry Coke. Like, that's what we brought
back.
When
we brought in Yorkton, they didn't have cans of the pop
soda. Yeah, it was
just
bottles. That's right.
Yeah.
Just bottles?
Yeah. So we were like the talk of the town when we come with a 12-pack of Dr. Pepper cans.
There's the hell else. They got a can of Dr. Pepper fireworks and a VCR.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Talk is Jericho.
Remember we went to St. Louis in the motorhome? And we went somewhere where you guys got a bullwhip, Indiana Jones whip.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was so mad I never got a whip.
Really?
I was like really mad that I never got a whip. Yeah, because it was the three of us, I think, with your parents. And the way I remember it is that your mom bought you guys whips and I got nothing.
Maybe you were like misbehaving that day.
I just remember like, why didn't I get a whip? I needed a whip. I should have had a whip.
But Ash has one now, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. And I did end up getting a whip. I used it when I did my high school play, Oliver, Bill Sykes with the whip.
Nice.
So I had that. But then we're getting older now and we go to Valley Fair, which is a big amusement park in Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Yeah, we would try to search out all those roller coasters, right? We were big on that, you know.
Yeah, I think my mom and dad just got divorced. I think it was kind of like a get out of the town because Russ didn't come. It was just Bev, your mom, and my mom.
Oh, so yeah, the moms took us on a trip. That's right. And then we would, we stayed in. I remember there's a picture of us in some dirtbag hotel, right? You know, trying to save money and doing this trip, right? Well, you know, the divorce and everything.
Yeah.
But we would. Todd and I would fight a lot. And I remember on that trip, we were in the backseat, all three of us, and we were just fighting, right? And
Todd was a snitch at this point. And now at this point, it's like me and Chad versus Todd.
Yeah.
We were calling you, hey, fat boy. Hey, fat boy, you're a little chubby at that point in time.
Toad ass.
Toad ass, yeah.
You guys were a bunch of dicks.
So what happened?
So, but at one point on that trip, we were driving back and it was, mom got fed up. I don't know. I think she was just stressed and she kicked me out of the car. Do you remember that?
She pulled over on the side of the highway.
It
was a freeway.
Interstate, like the number one, highway one.
Okay. Yeah.
And basically kicked you out of the car on the side of the road.
Yeah, and then just
spinned
away. Yeah.
And I remember like, Todd, do you remember that? Like she's going to stop.
Yes.
She's not stopping. And I think my mom was even like, Bev, like, what are you doing?
No, and then we drove away.
We drove down to the next exit. Then you got to turn around, drive back down the highway. I think we probably saw you. And then turn on the next exit and drove back. So what did you think when you got thrown out on the side of the highway?
I was probably thinking, like, it wasn't me. Like, why am I getting kicked out?
And the thing, like, what am I going to do?
Yeah, and they were gone. Like, I couldn't even see them. I'm like,
well, we drove away, dude. Yeah. She kicked
what a
you
weird...
out, and we drove. Can you imagine?
What a weird thing to do.
Can you imagine, like, had something happened?
Yeah.
You know, you get kidnapped, you get hit by a truck or whatever. Can you imagine?
Man, she must have been
the loss, like the legal ramifications of that alone.
Yeah, she was at wit's end. Must have been.
Yeah, must have been.
We were just arguing. I remember that trip. We were just arguing with everything and like just being idiots. I remember we were listening to Immigrant Song and just doing that, just laughing. And they're like, shut up. And we're just like, not shut up. You're singing.
That was the last trip that we did with the moms.
I think so. Yeah, they had enough at that point. We were getting too old. You know, at that point, I think I remember Def Leppard Hysteria came out. So I'm 16, you're 14, you're 12. You're not curtailing
us anymore.
Those
trips are over.
Exactly. Those trips are done. We're moving on. And I just remember, like, another thing that it's really stupid, but these memories. Do you remember the time we were driving down the highway and you had a baseball hat on,
Chad? I remember that. That was in Regina.
I had my hand out of the back seat. I'm in the back seat. Chad's in the front seat.
Yeah.
And I had my hand, like, out of the window on the roof of the car. And somehow the wind blew and blew your hat off.
Yeah.
And I caught it.
You caught it. It was weird. It was like my favorite
one in
hat.
A million.
Yeah. Like, what is this? Like, you would usually be like, oh, but your hat flew it and I caught it.
I remember that.
My hat. I was like, you lost your hat? Here
hat?
It is.
Yeah.
Like, just weird shit like that that you remember, you know?
That was freaky.
I remember, too, because before the trip started happening where Todd could come, Chad just came by himself and we went to, we were going to go to the movies.
Yeah,
and I wanted to go to Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark. And what did you want to see, Chad?
I wanted to see Fox and the Hound. That was, I was pretty pumped about that.
And because you're the guest, and my dad said, you know, Chad's the guest. So I had to go to the Fox and the Hound with you.
It was quite, you know, that was, it pulled some heartstrings, that one.
But we did. I think we probably went to Raiders of the Lost Ark like the next day.
We did. And I remember that the last scene. It was scary for me. That's how young I was, right? When Tote's face melted, right?
Yeah, when the
wait
when
a second. I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
I think the spoiler alert, the time zone is done. So at the end of the movie, when they open the Ark of the Covenant, all the heels, like Tot's head melts.
Yeah, Belloc.
Belloc's head explodes.
Yeah.
They're screaming. It's still a pretty scary scene to this day.
Yeah.
But I said, remember, like, cover your eyes. Cover your eyes.
And I did, just like Indian Marion had to. I covered him.
I just remember you kept going, is he going to die? Is he going to die? Is he going to die? And I think at one point I just said, yeah, he dies. You know?
Well, even in Empire Strikes Back, I remember I had to ask you, is there a scary part? And you said, well, you know, there's one where I had jumped. And it's right. It was when Luke and Vader were fighting, and he just, before he got his hand cut off, he just popped out, right? Vader just kind of popped out.
Yeah,
that was it. That was what you defined as...
Like a jump scare.
Yeah, a jump scare.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember that. It's like I had to ask, was it scary, right?
But then we would always go downtown in Winnipeg, too. Once again, you're taking the bus from my house near Bigelow's drugstore, and you'd take the bus downtown, and once again, something that kids would never do nowadays, and just, you know, and we would go shopping for comics.
Yeah, that was our day out.
Book fair, wasn't it? Book fair?
Book fair, yeah.
Comic World.
They were used comic.
Well, we were so into comics.
Hours in those stores.
Yes,
Like hours. And then, you know, that's why we took the bus. The parents didn't want to wait for us. But we would go through. I was on this X-Men kick and G.I. Joe comics. That was a big thing, right?
I was more of a G.I. Joe guy, yeah.
Mm. And we were Marvel guys. Chris was DC. You were like New Teen Titans.
That was your thing, right?
And a lot of Batman and stuff. But, you know, we would... I remember I bought like X-Men issue, I think it was like 52 or something like that, where Professor X dies. And it was actually The Changeling. I still have it. I still have these comics, right? You thought, oh, I'm going to keep them. G.I.
Joe's. It'll be worth something one day.
I think they've gone down in value. I don't know.
Yeah, like you said, that would be a day out. Go hang out, maybe go to the movies.
Yeah.
You know, watch a movie for Movie Review Magazine. We would have to do a review of it later.
Search for Spock, I remember going to. Yeah. And I remember how excited you after, because Wrath of Khan was a big movie for us, right? Mm-hmm. And then when Spock died, and you go to Search for Spock. And I remember sitting when the credits started, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm going to see what happens to Spock. Like, it was so important, right? And it was... That was a day.
Once again, you had to wait for 2 years to see it.
Yeah.
You know, and there was no spoilers. There's no letting you know, okay, well, Spock comes back. We didn't know shit.
Yeah, they're searching for him.
Yeah, you would go in there blind and, like, just watch the movie as it unfolds.
That was another cool thing about coming to Winnipeg, being from Yorkton, is we had our one-screen theater, and we would come to Winnipeg, and we'd get to see some movies.
There's two screens at this theater. Yeah. You go to the Garrick, and there's a brand new – there's, like, two movies in the same place. This is crazy. Yeah. I don't believe it.
It was one of those theaters had like red carpet or something. Was it? Was it a fancy, like when you sat there? Was it a
yeah? Nice... But it was like from like the 30s or something.
Yeah, but it was like that period.
That place is now a concert venue. Now it's called the Burton Cummings Theater. And cool. When bands who aren't playing the arena, like will go, like Slash will play the, you know, the Burton Cummings.
Really? Because I remember how nice it was.
Yeah,
sitting in there, it was just
old school.
Right?
Yeah. You know, old school type stuff. Todd, do you remember? This is a time when you came to Winnipeg by yourself. When I think I was 18 at this point or 19, so you were probably 15, and I took you out to the bar.
Yes.
Remember?
It was the first time I bought alcohol as a minor. I was very proud. Well, nervous, very nervous. And then when I got out, Chris just, we pulled up to the...
Remember the name of the club?
Yeah.
The name of the club? Strawberries.
And Diamond Club Strawberries. Yeah.
How did you get into that place? You're 15, dude.
I don't know, acting. I don't know, just followed in behind you guys.
It was only 18 there, though, right?
Yeah. 19 in Saskatchewan.
Oh, was it 19 in Saskatchewan?
Yeah. But still, I was 15, yeah.
Yeah, because we were using fake ID from when I was about 15 forward. So I was an old pro at sneaking into bars with my shitty fake ID. So maybe I gave you some fake ID or something.
Yeah, I think
back then the ID, like there was no picture on it.
Oh, it was, you guys were pros with the stenciling and the tracing of the numbers on the...
Yeah, and you would have a one-sided, black and white, shittily laminated piece of ID with an obvious number change on it.
Obvious.
5 out of 10 times it worked.
Yeah.
You know, it would work and you would go. So I remember that. It was in my Volare. It was summer of 90s. Yeah, so I was 19 and you were probably 15.
Yeah.
And I remember taking you on the Volare, taking you in Strawberries, and I think you passed out in the back seat.
Probably.
You pulled a Bon Scott just without the vomit.
Yeah, thank God.
I remember you went back outside and like, I'm just going to go pass out. And I was like, fine, you go. And I'm staying at the Diamond Club, man.
Yeah.
And you went outside and just passed out in the back of the other car. Another thing.
I wasn't there.
No, I don't know why you weren't there. But another thing you would never want to do nowadays, right?
God, no.
Another trip that I remember, because we had an older cousin too, Merv.
Merv Olenek.
And he was a guitar player.
Yeah, he was a really good guitar player. He was in that band Royalty.
Rats for Friends,
Royalty Gone Wrong. Okay. A few big Saskatchewan bands, right?
And you always had cool ass hair too.
Oh yeah.
We always had bad hair. Like my hair was the worst. And you had the giant kind of Tommy. You were going for the Tommy Lee.
I was going for the Tommy Lee look, yeah.
But except the
big glasses, Coke bottle glasses.
Your glasses were huge.
Those glasses though, that was like, you know, those were emergency pair that, you know, I had to hold on to. That's when a semi truck drove over my glasses when I was on a ski trip.
What?
Yeah, I had these prescription sunglasses. They were like looked like Roy Orbison, and I'd have to switch glasses. I remember we stopped. I went with some guys from high school: Kurt Popovich, Colin Pachala, Mark Bitkovich. You know, the Ukrainians.
You right? Got to give me. We'll do a rundown of names in a second.
Okay. So anyway, with the Ukrainians, right? And I remember we stopped somewhere and I had to switch my glasses. So I put my normal glasses on top of the car, and then I put my Roy Orbison's on, and we drove away.
Roy Orbison's.
And then I'm like, my glasses. You heard that a few times when we were fighting. My glasses.
My glasses. Yeah, my glasses. Don't punch me. My glasses.
Anyway, they were on the car, and we drove back, and just as I saw them on the road, a semi drove over.
Oh.
And we're starting our ski trip. So I had to go to Fernie and go to the optometrist and get some glasses, and these preppy, I think they're like, they're the ones where they sit on your cheek, right?
Right.
So
it's like Stripes when Bill Murray drops his pizza and then the car runs over it 2 seconds later. It's like.
So I got these totally weird glasses. And anyway, I had to keep them until they were, were out of style like a while before.
But here's the funny thing. I mean, you mentioned, I don't remember ever fighting you, Chad.
Yeah.
But I used to terrorize Todd.
Well, you used to stick up for me because Todd was bigger. I was a little stick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would stick up for me, and Todd was...
I'd do the one where I'd wrestle you to the ground and put my knees on your arms and then play Beethoven on your chest. Or bam, 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 and like put my fingers in your chest.
Cock a la beefy.
Cock a la beefy, is that what it was?
Yeah. And then you'd do the drool spit where you would... And
the hanging spit.
I'm helpless. I'm locked in
I'm letting this
big gob of
big
drool.
Long thing of saliva. Like how long can you let it go before you yo-yo it up?
Oh,
and sometimes
man.
It would go too far and it right in your face. And
but
then
you were wrestling in our living room with him or threw him on the couch, and that's when you smashed Mom's Czechoslovakian crystal vase.
What?
Yeah, you guys were wrestling. So it was from our great grandfather's Czechoslovakian crystal vase, and I don't know, I think you threw Todd on the couch and it rolled over or something on the coffee table, and this thing smashed. And this was like a family heirloom.
Wow.
And mom was so pissed. And you were saying, you know, I'll glue it together.
I got it. My dad's a TV repairman. He's got an awesome set of tools. I can fix it.
Well, you know what? It's there was a lot of collateral damage from our wrestling and fighting matches. So
I remember if I did the Beethoven to you, the cock of the beefy, as we call it, and then you'd start to cry, and then I would be like, I'd hug you, like, no, no, don't tell your mom. Don't tell your mom. It's okay. I won't do it anymore. I won't do it. Just the only mission was to not have you tell your mom.
Yeah.
Because then I would get in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like if you could just don't tell your mom, we'll be fine. I'll never do this again.
Well, I was confused.
When we were in trouble with our parents, we were in trouble. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
mom was no joke.
We got disciplined hard. And, you know, I mean, I don't know how many times we get the strap, get hit with a spoon.
Not overly, but.
No, but I mean, it's fine. Look how we turned out.
Exactly.
Good, you know, it was disciplined, kids, right? Yeah. But, you know.
But yeah, when we really, really misbehaved, then we get the wooden spoon or something.
Dad was really good at somehow in one foul swoop, he'd hit both of us. You know, we try to hide behind each other.
Da-doom, da-doom.
I remember he was going, Chad, Dad. Chad, Todd. He'd call you Todd and call you Chad and then call you just settle on Chad and Tad.
Yeah.
I'm half right either way. Do you remember the time that my mom and I got in a fight by my pool?
Yeah, it's on video, actually.
That's awkward that it was on video.
Yeah, Dad was like a little voyeur.
Yeah, my mom and I are arguing and did she try to push me in the pool or something?
She did. And I
grabbed the chair and drag it down with me. And
That was one of those ones where you're just kind of watching and kind of don't want to watch. And then, Dad's filming it all. So.
Yeah, for prosperity's sake, you have to watch the argument of me and my mom. Like, and obviously, once again, they're loaded.
Oh, yeah.
They're loaded. How much they must have been drunk all the time.
And we didn't realize how drunk they were.
Yeah, until now. And you look back and it's like, there's no way I would push my kid in the pool to the point where the kid's holding onto a thing of furniture saying, don't push me in the pool unless I'm drunk.
You were about 15 then?
Yeah, I was getting older, probably 15, 16.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what the hell are you doing, you know?
Yeah. You know, good parents. We were brought up.
Your mom left you on the side of the road and my mom pushed me in the pool. I was holding furniture. We're just getting down to the end of it though, but give me the list of your friends, some names of your friends in Yorkton, because there's some Ukrainian names I've never heard before or since.
Yeah, and you know, a shout out to these guys. Jonas Marchenko, we used to play together a lot, action figures.
Jonas Marchenko.
Yeah, Kelly Bellaberta.
Bellaberta.
And one of the best names of all time is Justin and Robert Ukrainitz.
That's the
that's
ultimate.
Last
that's not
name.
Real.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the ultimate Ukrainian name.
Ukrainitz.
Ukrainitz.
It's Ukrainitz. Yeah.
And then there was the bullies, Mervin Shingoose and Marvin Shingoose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They
First Nation guys.
Yeah, they terrorized us.
Tough guys.
But brother, what was the brother's name?
There was Darren Shingoose, Marvin Shingoose, Conrad Shingoose.
Wow.
Like, it was families, right?
Yeah, but they were tough because they were held back 3 years, and they're supposed to be in grade six, and I'm in grade three, and they're all, give me your lunch money. I'm all, here. Yeah, it's all yours.
Take it. Chad, give me some names from yours.
Okay, yeah. Mark Pitkovich, Colin Pachala, Kurt Popowicz, Rob Lozinski, Cletus alumni.
Yeah.
Colin Boris, Ron Fedorovich. Who else?
Who's the guy that played guitar?
Alan Dobko.
Yes.
Wow.
When I moved away from Yorkton.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I was in culture shock when I moved to Saskatoon because I thought it was all Ukrainians. There's supposed to be Ukrainians everywhere, and I was in the minority now. But then I moved to Edmonton and balanced out a little more. Edmund Chuck,
yeah. Last thing is one more story. I have to talk just quickly about Russ. Russ looks like Jay Leno. He always did, just the same jawline, almost the same voice too. And when I did the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and you do a pre-show interview, and they're like, what do you want to talk about, and ideas? And I said, I got this idea. Like, my uncle looks just like Jay. And they're like, yeah. So like, we always call him that. It might be a funny bit to kind of put the thing up there. So Brittany, your sister, sent me a picture of Russ. And I showed it to the book. She's like, oh my gosh, he looks just like Jay.
Totally.
So throughout the course of the interview, it came up and it's like, you know, my uncle, Russ, actually looks just like you. And he's like, what are you talking about? And we put the picture up and everyone laughs. A big pop for Russ looking like Leno. And two things that happened. One was, I think my dad was mad that Russ got mentioned on the Tonight Show and my dad didn't. And that's just one of those weird things. Like, are you mad about that?
Yeah.
He's like, well, I never mentioned my name. I said, we don't look like Jay Leno.
Yeah.
But then Russ called me and he's like, He's like, I can't believe it. I finally got on the Tonight Show.
Yes.
This is one of the best nights ever.
My dad was a huge Tonight Show fan, and he was very, very proud and happy that you did that.
Yeah,
that
he was
very
walking around like, you know, like the King of Kensington that day in Yorkton, right? And then just, yeah, just proud. That was really cool. And, you know, like, because, you know, honestly, we, like, our parents were awesome. Like, we had... our upbringing, I wouldn't change it for anything, right? You know, Loretta and Ted, the best. Rust and Bev, the best. Like, we were lucky. You know, we were lucky because they let us do these things that a lot of parents don't do. They let us be creative, and they made sure that our relationship was...
That's the thing.
Was always...
They made sure that we spent so much time together. Like I said, like, you guys are like, you're my brothers, right? And that's because we were always together.
Always.
You know, and actually one of my favorite things, I'm really excited, is that your sister Brittany, who's, gosh, 10 years younger than you guys?
15.
A little bit of an accident, maybe, or whatever it was.
But the best thing that happened in our family.
Well, and now she's getting married, and one of the coolest things is she's going to invite Ted. And Ted and Russ and Bev, will get to, my mom has passed away since, but Ted, because I don't think, you never know why things go the way they do. I have no idea when the last time they saw each other, maybe at my wedding or something like that. But to actually sit down and shoot the breeze and hang out, like when I told my dad, he's like, I'm so excited. He goes, I miss Russ.
Yeah.
Great.
As a dude, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I want to sit down with Russ and Teddy and your mom and have some drinks and talk as adults and talk some of these stories and find out their end of it. Because I'm sure we were a lot worse than what we're saying right now. last question. Favorite concert you saw in that time frame?
Oh,
tell us about the Poison story quickly.
Oh yeah, we always tried to get backstage, right? That was the thing, to meet the bands. So you have these little kids that are, we think we're going to fool the crew that we're crew, right? But one time I was at a Poison concert, and in the tour bus, one of the backstage passes was hanging from the mirror or whatever. I saw it, I sketched it really quick. I went and got my Poison cassette, cut out the logo. It was on white. There was like a scary guy on it. Went and got it laminated, put a shoestring around it, put some keys on it, and I went backstage.
Hell to you.
Genius.
And I was, like probably 13.
You're 13 years old on the crew.
Yeah. And so I'm walking around backstage and got by all the local security, right? Like, you know, the yellow shirts or whatever, right? And I'm back there and I don't know what I'm doing, right? Obviously look out of place and I'm a kid. And there was this catering table, and I remember showing, and I just started like, you know, grabbing food and drink just because, you know, make it look good. And then one guy with a clipboard just spotted me across the room. He's like, hey! And I'm like, oh shit, come here. And I went there and he looks at my pass and he grabs it and he yanks and he just rips it right off my neck. He's like, I don't want to ever see you again, piss breath. And I was, and I was gone. Gone.
This is photocopied piss breath.
I hope you kept that because it was a good piece of work.
Well, you are a good artist. Yeah, that's pretty.
And fearless, though. That was the thing. You're fearless. And that's what you have to be to try those things.
Even now, it's like, you know, there's, I'm fearless. Like, you always make it look like you know where you're going, right?
Yeah.
You know, and we do that. I do that all the time. Like, if I'm trying to get in front of something, right?
Yeah, anyway. We learned that growing up.
Do you remember Guns N' Roses when they opened for Maiden?
Yeah.
We see Duff in the lobby of the arena just hanging around, surrounded by fans.
Selling his buttons.
He was selling his buttons.
Yeah, he had a jean jacket full of buttons, and he was drunk, and he's like, selling them for $5. So guys were giving him, he's like, I want that one. Like, okay, and $5, you know.
I remember someone was asking for something, like, can I have your hat? He's like, can I have your f-ing hat? Or something like that. Like, he was like, somebody was like, wanted, like, he was wanting like some.
Well, yeah, well, he was just selling buttons, and then people took it too far, right?
Right, yeah, but they just wanted, give me your hat, Duff. And I just remember going, give me your hat.
Yeah.
You know, and then we saw Axl skateboarding outside.
And that was before they blew up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, about 2 months before.
That's right. Opening for, and that's. That was one of my favorite concerts in that time, was Guns N' Roses opening for Maiden, Seventh Son, and the other was David Lee Roth, Eat 'Em and Smile at the Winnipeg Arena.
That was probably one of my two.
I think that might be one of my favorite concerts of all time. Yeah. And I've never been so blown away by a band, like, not just from the party aspect, but from the technical aspect, the package. It was just, that was a brief time frame where Roth was bigger and better than Van Halen.
That stage show was, like, it was just huge, right? It looked so big, the you know, his painted face in the back, and I remember, like, everything about that show. I bootlegged it. I think I recorded it or something.
I was able to buy either I bought it at Records on Wheels.
Yeah, yeah.
We used to sell bootlegs at Records on Wheels, and I had that for years and years, and it was a great copy too.
Do we have time for the story about video camera with the main show with the booth?
We told that one last time. Okay, yeah, good. About the story with where Chad and I smuggled the video camera inside to the maiden show.
Hey, you got to try,
three
right?
Parts. You got to try. And we were filming. We got the first three songs until Peter, the security guard, came and dragged him out. And he was trying to give me the handoff. And I just remember grabbing it, like reaching for it. And maybe I even got the material of his shirt. He's got dragged away, and our camera was taken away. And
what was your favorite show in that era?
Probably David Lee Roth, yeah. Eat 'Em and Smile. I mean, that was a great one. And then the other one that I remember that we went to that was great was Motley Crue with White Snake. And that's the one where Coverdale.
Girls, girls, girls.
And Coverdale had to leave the stage because he said he had bad diarrhea.
God, yeah.
And I told David that, and he said, that's not true. I said, yeah. He said, I'll be right back. I gotta go shit. And he went to the Kansky and came back. And
jeez.
But once again, that show was in the middle of the week, and you guys were there.
Yeah, we were
thanks
there.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I think we took the train for that one from
York. You're getting taken out of school to go to a rock show.
That's how cool.
If that's not a cool
and that's
parent.
An education in life. Okay? Like, that's where you – that's the education. Right?
That's the education, piss breath. It's such a great time hanging out with Wise Cousin Chad and How's It Going Todd last week. Always a lot of laughs. I'm going to give you a full report of the Ukrainian wedding of their sister Brittany next week. If you've ever been to a wedding, a Ukrainian wedding tops it. It is one of the craziest wedding experiences you could ever handle. I bet you Team Tiger Awesome has never been to a Ukrainian wedding. If they did, they'd want to do a podcast of it because it is hilarious. And speaking of hilarious, let's check in with a couple news items from Team Tiger Awesome.
This is the news with Team Tiger Awesome. In local news, a lovable scamp threw a week-long party while his parents were abroad. While he invited 100 strangers and implored them not to, quote, mess with my dad's stuff, the scamp learned some valuable life lessons and is confident he can find a replacement for his mom's broken vase before his parents return from Cambodia. In climate change news, an iceberg the size of Delaware broke away from Antarctica. Environmentalists now worry the state-sized sheet of ice will face a host of unprecedented problems, particularly because delegates from the Delaware-sized iceberg won't commit to a health care bill until it covers more polar bears. More on this story as it floats slowly towards statehood. And now a look at the cosplay index. In descending order of quality, as measured on the idea matrix, Dude Furiosa lands at number 5, Commander Fussy Britches is 4th, in 3rd is the titular Machina from Ex Machina, number 2 is doddering present-day Clint Eastwood, and number 1 for the second year in a row belongs to Spider-Man pulling open his shirt to reveal a Superman costume underneath. For more news reasonable folks shouldn't care about, check out the Team Tiger Awesome Show every Sunday on the Jericho Network right here on Podcast 1.
Suitably ridiculous as always. And if you want more TTA, go subscribe to the Team Tiger Awesome Show at Apple Podcasts. Be sure to leave them a 5-star rating and review. Leave all the Jericho Network podcasts 5-star ratings and reviews at Apple Podcasts. Killing the Town with Storm and Cyrus. A great episode this week with Bad Luck Fale checking in from Japan. Marty Skrull checking in from New Japan. Cyrus on the spot reporter. Also, they debate if Vince McMahon really killed all the small territories. Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon, Josh Todd from Buck Cherry talking about all the controversy in that band going on. Raven Effect. Raven explains how he created the Dudleys after last week's episode about how he created the Raven character for ECW. Lots of great ECW stories from Raven. And of course, Keep It 100 with Conan, the greatest show on the Jericho Network. I love this show. It's like a men's magazine radio talk show. What was that show called with Adam Carolla hosted with Jimmy Kimmel? The Man Show. This is the Man Show on the Jericho Network. And of course, Beyond the Darkness, the biggest show on the Jericho Network, 5 days a week, scaring the crap out of you with brand new supernatural episodes. And you can get in on their True Crime Tuesdays as well. Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, the two masterminds behind Beyond the Darkness, are doing a weekly True Crime Tuesday podcast. But you can only get that by signing up at patreon.com for just $5 a month. And you get a new episode every single Tuesday with no commercials. Commercial free. Go sign up now at patreon.com. And one last big thank you to you for listening and all this episode's tremendous sponsors who allow me to do the show for you for free for twice a week. Talking about DDP Yoga, go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Get 20% off the DDP Yoga Now app and all DDPY related merch and clothing. Talking about Little Caesars, get the extra most bestest pizza for just $6 plus tax to participate in locations. What a deal that is. Well, my favorite new show, Alone. New episodes of Alone air Thursdays at 10 Eastern, 9 Central on History. This is real reality, people. And of course, TrueCar, save time, save money, get the best cars available in the market with TrueCar. Thank you so much for listening. Keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. And coming up on Friday, it's a very special episode, and it's quite a controversial episode, and it's something I've been meaning to do and wanting to do for a long time. It's basically a show after the 10-year anniversary since the Chris Benoit tragedy. I wanted to put that aside and talk about Chris Benoit, the wrestler, and his career. Not glorify the man for what he did at the end of his life, but just discuss a career where you're talking about Benoit was probably one of the best wrestlers of all time. And that doesn't excuse anything that he did at the end of his life. But I wanted to be objective and talk about his career, the life he led up until the last weekend of his life, and not focus on the tragedy, but focus on the career and just the facts of just how amazing of a performer he was as a wrestler, and also maybe some of the reasons why he was such a great wrestler. And we'll delve into a little bit of his psyche. And to do that, I brought in Dave Meltzer, who was a friend of Chris and also obviously one of the biggest experts in pro wrestling history, who will honestly tell you that Benoit was one of his top five, if not top three, wrestlers of all time. So it's an objective discussion about the career of Chris Benoit. It's Benoit 10 years later on Friday on Talk is Jericho. It might be controversial, but it's something that I needed to do for myself. And I think that you'll get a lot out of this show, a lot of insight and a lot of... like we said, is it okay to talk about Chris Benoit, the wrestler? Well, we're going to find out, because I wanted to delve into that subject, because a lot of my best matches in the early 2000s and late 90s were with Chris Benoit, and I could never talk about them anymore, but I felt it might be time to at least discuss the subject. So it's Chris Jericho and Dave Meltzer discussing Benoit 10 years later this Friday. Be safe, be cool, and we'll talk to you soon. Peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy.
Listen to new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday on the Podcast One app, or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.